If only there were a dogma to believe in. Everything is contradictory. Everything is tangential. There are no certainties anywhere. Everything can be interpreted one way and then again in the opposite sense. The whole world of history can be explained as development and progress and can also be seen as nothing more than decadence and meaningless. Isn't there any truth? Is there no real and valid doctrine? Joseph Necht said this to his music master. There is truth, my boy, but the doctrine you desire, absolute perfect dogma that alone provides wisdom, does not exist. Nor should you long for a perfect doctrine, my friend. Rather, you should long for perfection in yourself. The deity is within you, not in ideas and books. Truth is lived, not taught. And this week's opening quote comes from Hermann Hesse. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, interesting times in the world, folks, and I keep saying that. It's kind of interesting times in the world almost every week these days, isn't it? The ongoing threat of a nuclear war with North Korea seems to be one of the major things in the headlines these days, and seems to be something that's concerning most people that you talk to on the street. This, of course, is a completely mythical scenario, folks. Nobody is going to war with North Korea, and North Korea is not going to be dropping any nuclear bombs on the United States. I've been surprised at how many people I've been talking to who seriously believe that North Korea is about to drop nuclear bombs on the United States. An absolutely absurd idea being propagated by the mainstream media, and of course something that's being used by Donald Trump to create the distraction he needs to shift attention away from all of the other rubbish that he's doing, such as bombing Syria illegally and supporting Israel and the massive expansion of Israel in the Middle East, which is what is really going on there, continuing the destruction of the Middle East that the previous administrations have been doing, and just following the same old Zionist agenda. And of course, the posturing towards North Korea is a great distraction from all this, folks. And of course, North Korea is joining in and playing the enemy as well, because that's the way they do it, folks. All these governments collude with each other to make you believe that you are under threat, when really you're not. It's just governments colluding with each other in order to enslave their populations a little more. And the United States and North Korea are no different to anybody else in that regard. All theatre for the masses, folks, so don't concern yourself with a nuclear war with North Korea, because it's simply not going to happen, I can guarantee that. But it does work great in providing a little bit of distraction for President Trump and allowing him to put his people in a little bit more fear. And it is also a great ploy for the Australian government in being able to roll out the police state in Australia a little bit more. You'll notice in the media rhetoric there was a nuclear threat directed against Australia from North Korea, and this is all part of the theatre, folks, and it's something that's very much needed to push the agenda forth in Australia. They've been desperately trying to enslave the Australian people to a fear of terrorism, but the Australian people are kind of too laid back for it, so it's not really working that well with the Australian people, so they have to bring in a nuclear threat to try to put these people in fear. I mean, Australian people are too busy having barbecues on the beach to really worry about a threat from anybody, and that's just the way the country is. But they're desperately trying, with the new generation coming up, to put the fear of terrorism in them, and they're really trying to get the Australian people scared and get them in a state where they are totally dependent upon their utterly corrupt government. And that's what this whole North Korea posturing is all about. Malcolm Turnbull is a really disgusting person, folks. You've got to understand this about the Australian political system. It's run by some of the worst creeps that politics have ever spawned. It really is. And the Malcolm Turnbull government is no exception. Malcolm Turnbull and his government are also promoting the concept of mandatory vaccines in Australia. This is, of course, because Malcolm Turnbull and his wife have huge shares in vaccine companies and work very close with Big Pharma to profit from the diseases that they inflict upon the people. And the Australian people are really very controlled, folks. They may be laid back, but they live in one of the most controlled countries in the Western world. They simply don't know it. They think that they're free because they have a lot of free space around them, a lot of empty space, but they really do have some of the most brutal and corrupt police anywhere in the world, and one of the most corrupt governments anywhere in the Western world. A government that has absolute disregard for the populace of their country. Malcolm Turnbull is a Zionist more than anything. and probably an ex-banker would be the close second that he runs to being Zionist. You put human being way down on the list, I'd say, folks, with Malcolm Turdfall and with the entire regime that he's constructed around him. But, you know, it's no different in any other country as well. In any other Western country, you look at Donald Trump and the Zionist regime he's constructed around him. You like the way Donald Trump is wearing an Israeli tie these days, folks? You notice he's got a lovely blue and white striped tie on most of the time these days, thereby openly showing his support for the rogue terrorist state of Israel and its genocide that it's carrying out against the Palestinian people and the war that it is waging in the Middle East under the guise of protecting the world from ISIS. Israel is actually running ISIS, as is the United States, and the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp are actually running this mercenary group and using them to destabilize the Middle East for greater Israel. That's what's going on in the Middle East. But you're seeing this coming to the attention of so many people now. There's so many people that are aware of what's really going on in the Middle East, and so we have to put this new war with North Korea right in their faces to attempt to distract them. You know, people often do get distracted by this, folks. They don't realize that this new thing that has just been put in their face is theater just as much as the old thing that was put in their face as well. And it's always the same way. Once the wheels start falling off one of their false flag operations, they just stage a bigger one. And many people fall straight into the trap of thinking that the bigger one is actually real. And really, it was just as fake as the one that they were doing before. This is the way it's always played, folks. They just keep on escalating things. And if they get to a position where their back is against the wall, then they escalate it a little more. Something else that we are witnessing at the moment, which is really quite in everybody's faces as well for those who are looking in this direction, is the controlled demolition of the independent media. And this is really going forward in leaps and bounds as well, folks. It started off with the whole Pizzagate scandal and the way Pizzagate was controlled and focus was purposely shifted towards the pizza store, which ended up in the attack against the pizza store, which saw the creation of the entire fake news meme. This was all very predictable. I actually called that before it happened, and this led to the demonetization of many people's YouTube accounts, and I called that before it happened as well. I told people that they need to be careful of monetizing their YouTube accounts because it was a trap, and this is one of the reasons I never monetized mine, because I knew it was going to be a short-lived experience anyway, and all you're really doing by providing these details to YouTube is giving them access to your bank account and all of your personal details, and you're adding more to the control grid and adding more to the surveillance system and simply doing it for a few dollars, which really don't mean anything anyway, and which will soon be taken away from you. And that's exactly what they've done with the demonetization of YouTube. And this is all about the destruction, the controlled demolition of the independent media. But it's really being pushed a little bit further now, and the Trump presidency is contributing to this as well, as is the controlled demolition of Alex Jones that we're seeing as well. There's a documentary that I watched the other day, just out of interest, to see what they were going to say, which was called The Alex Jones Deception. It was a quite disgusting documentary, folks, an obvious hit piece made by mainstream, probably made by Zionists against Alex Jones. And look, I'm no fan of Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones has been controlled opposition for a long time. Or he's been controlled without knowing he's been controlled. I don't know. I think he would be actually someone who is quite easy to control, just because of his narcissistic personality. But the film that I watched the other day, The Alex Jones Deception, actually lumped a lot of stuff into the Alex Jones basket that shouldn't be there. It said that Alex Jones was basically following the protocols of Zion and was one of the main forces speaking out against Israel, which of course is absurd. Alex Jones has never said a word against Israel. It also blamed the election of Donald Trump on Alex Jones supporters, and it really lumped everything into the Alex Jones basket. Chemtrails, vaccines, 9/11, the Trump election, the Israeli-Palestinian situation, everything. It lumped it all into the Alex Jones basket and basically said that anybody who is supporting any of these ideas has got the concept from Alex Jones, and that this all should be destroyed with the destruction of Alex Jones. And this is all very, very contrived, folks. And Alex Jones has become the face of the independent media as far as the mainstream is concerned, and so the destruction of Alex Jones will see the destruction of the independent media as far as the mainstream is concerned. And any of the issues that we talk about, which are extremely important issues, have all been lumped into the Alex Jones basket. So now if you were to bring up chemtrails, or you were to bring up Israeli control, or you were to bring up 9/11, or you were to bring up anything, the sleeping masses will most likely accuse you of getting the information from Alex Jones and blame you for supporting Alex Jones and blame you for the rise of Donald Trump via your support for Alex Jones. This has all been very, very well played, folks. It's an obvious propaganda hit piece, like I said, this Alex Jones deception film that came out. But it's been very, very cleverly created to lump the entire independent media into the same basket with Alex Jones as the figurehead and leader, if you will. That's the way it's been portrayed anyway, and that's the way it's been presented to the masses. And of course, many of the masses will buy into this way of thinking, and it stands to reason they would do this, and I think it's been a play that has been long in the making. I think this has been part of the plan for a very long time, folks, I really do. And all InfoWars has been doing lately is pushing the whole globalist agenda anyway. They've been pushing the war against East and West. They've been pushing the anti-Muslim rhetoric. They're not really pointing the finger at where it's all coming from. They're not pointing the finger at Saudi Arabia. They're not pointing it at Israel. They're not pointing it at any of the major players. All they're attempting to do is whip up a hatred for Islam. Paul Joseph Watson has been doing this almost incessantly for the last couple of years, almost like he's got a chip in him and he's just running an anti-Muslim program. Put him in front of a camera and switch him on and let the hate flow. But again, folks, it's all designed to vilify the independent media and create an extremely alternative right-wing extremist view of the independent media and basically provide more excuses for more police and more internet censorship. You know, as I said a few months ago, just after Trump came to office, it appears that Donald Trump is simply the blunt instrument of the New World Order. It really does, folks. He is just someone who has pushed the agenda forward with an extreme amount of brutality, and he's done so with relative ease compared to what they were doing before Trump came to office. I mean, the neocons had a plan, but had been bogged down for a very, very long time, probably because of the corruption of people like Hillary Clinton, the enormous amount of profits she was making along the way, the enormous amount of profits of companies such as DynCorp. But Donald Trump has simply come along with a new business plan, a new way of pushing the agenda forward, and he's come along as a blunt instrument, and he's just done it. And he's creating so much instability at the same time that it's very unlikely Donald Trump is going to see out his first presidency. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he was impeached. And I said this as well, I think before he was elected, I said it's unlikely that he will even see out his first term. And I think this is still very much on the case. And I think that much of the global situation that's being contrived at the moment is pointing towards this. I think even the controlled demolition of Alex Jones is pointing towards this. The independent media can be blamed for the rise of Donald Trump and the huge amount of instability we've seen in the world since this narcissistic egomaniac took office. And it's all been contrived, and it's all been one big play, and it's all been done to justify the destruction of the independent media, and it'll also bring about a massive amount of control over the internet, folks. I think Flat Earth will do this as well. You know, once it gets out that so many people now believe the Earth is flat, and this is all because they've got information from the internet, you're going to find that so much of the internet changes, and that the entire internet landscape ends up something vastly different to what it is today. I mean, it's changed a great deal in the last 10 or 15 years anyway. The internet used to be fantastic. 15, 20 years ago, the internet was an incredible place where you could find anything you wanted to find. Now it's unfortunately turning into one big shopping mall controlled by Facebook, and that seems to be the internet. Facebook is taking over the entire internet, folks. For many people, the internet is Facebook, and that's a very, very sad thing. That's why I don't spend too much time on Facebook anymore, because it's just a problem. And it's just a means of controlling the flow of information so that people don't get access to anything, because there's so many algorithms that control the flow of information on Facebook. Even people who are friends with you, even people who follow your page, don't get to see what you post, folks, not unless you pay for it. And this all just contributes to giving Mark Zuckerberg more money, which allows Mark Zuckerberg to steal more of Hawaii. So what's the point of doing that? You know, people need to get off Facebook and start surfing the internet again and start finding websites that work again and sharing their information in forums rather than on Facebook, because we log on to Facebook and we do so because we think we've got so much connection there with people, but really you're only connected to a few people, folks, only the ones that they allow to see your posts. And your information doesn't get shared, it gets locked away and controlled, and all it does is give the government tabs on you and let them know what you're thinking. That's the purpose of Facebook. The police used to have to go to an enormous amount of trouble and expense to find out personal information about people, but now they just have to go to Facebook and everybody's put it all there for them anyway, along with all their friends and all their contacts and everything they've been doing for the last 7 years, and it's all there. It's all there on Facebook, and that's all the authorities need to be able to track you. And again, we use these sites because we believe that it's a way of sharing information, but really the information just doesn't get shared. And that's the problem. You know, the way we got here, folks, the way we got to have this incredible amount of freedom and information that we've got now, the way we did it originally was by surfing the web and finding information on websites and sharing the information in forums and emailing each other and going to chat rooms and doing all this sort of stuff. But now something more convenient came along, which is Facebook, and we've all shifted over to that. And what is Facebook, folks? Essentially, Facebook is just a big forum. It's a big forum, only it's moderated by people who sympathize with government. That's all it is. It's like the forums we used to go to in the old days, but there's a lot more people involved in it, but the government is the one who moderates the forum. So what is the point of that? You know, we go there and we think it's really cool because we can post pictures and we can upload videos and all these things. Well, we could do that in old forums that we used to go to anyway. So why don't we just use the old forums? How do we get convinced into switching over to a forum, a big forum, which is moderated by the government? Because that's essentially all Facebook is. Think about it. And now everything is completely controlled. You go into Facebook now, there's no news on any of the home threads. There's just people making their comments about what they had for dinner or creating these really ridiculous memes, these colored pictures with a little bit of text in it. And I don't know what this is for. I don't even know why people would bother doing that. But we're not seeing any real information there anymore, folks. And like I said, we need to remember our roots and remember where the information came from originally and go back to those sources and go back to those methods of doing things. Not allow ourselves to become enslaved to the convenience that has been put out there for us to consume, because all this convenience leads to control. I've said this very often, folks. All the way people do things on their mobile phone now, all the apps, everything's done in a way which is more convenient for you. You know, taking tellers out of banks, taking checkout operators out of supermarkets, and creating situations that they claim are more convenient for you. So you don't have to wait in line. That's why they make you wait in line, folks, because they want you to get annoyed with it, because then you'll accept the new conveniences that they bring in, which are all about control of your life. These things aren't really convenient, folks. They're convenient for the authorities to get control over you, but they're not really convenient for you. You know, they seem convenient for you because you've allowed the authorities to corral you into these untenable situations and make you wait in endless queues simply so they can roll out this convenience control grid for you. And it's our willingness to buy into it that is the problem. You know, I see so many people buying into it and so many people taking it for granted. I know so many truth activists that have the Facebook app on their phones. I know so many truth activists that have the new iPhone with Siri on it and actually think it's convenient that this phone talks to them. They don't think it inconvenient that the phone is listening to every conversation they have. They don't think it's inconvenient that these phones are tracking them everywhere. And they are simply complying with the system by their use of these products, folks. You know, you can be an activist and you can talk about how the world is going to hell and you can talk about the control grid that's coming down all you like, but if you're using these things, if you're using your mobile phone to do all these things, if you're shopping without cash and using your credit card to buy stuff, if you're using this control grid and participating in it at all, then you're part of the problem. I mean, I don't understand why people who are awake would be out there shopping with credit cards. I don't understand why people who are awake would be installing these apps on their phones and using their telephones for anything other than making phone calls. I don't know why people would be doing this and participating in this system while they're speaking out against it. Because it's this AI convenience system which is the control grid, folks. And if you are participating in this system, if you're buying a new laptop with Siri on it, or you're buying a new laptop with Cortana on it, or you've got a new iPhone with Siri on it, or you're using your credit card for shopping, then you are supporting the rollout of the digital control grid. And I don't know why you're bothering to speak out against the system. I really don't, because it's this passive acceptance of it and this passive use of all of these so-called convenience that they give us, which is creating this control grid. And if you really want to stop the control grid rolling out, folks, then you need to stop using the conveniences that they are giving you, which are in fact the control grid itself. And look, this is not to say stop taking video with your iPhone, or stop streaming your clips to YouTube, or doing on-the-ground reporting or anything the way people are doing. It's not any of that. It's just the things like the Facebook app and the tracking that goes with the Facebook app and so many other things and so many other apps that they have you install on your phone. The voice activation features, Cortana, the fingerprinting, the facial scanning and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, this all happens from your mobile phone, folks. And if you're supporting this, most especially the credit card system, if you're supporting this whole digital system, then why are you bothering to speak out against it? That's what I'm saying. I mean, that is the control grid itself, this whole AI grid. And as it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and eventually becomes a microchip that we implant into us, that's when the real problems arise. Because once it's all on a chip, and once everything's on your mobile phone, once it's all there and you're using your mobile phone to access your bank account and you're using it to open your car and open your house and all of this sort of stuff, then all they have to do is turn you off and suddenly you lose access to your life, or at least every aspect of your life. You lose access to your house, to your car, to your funds, to your money, to everything that you took for granted because you allowed it to all become digital. And it just doesn't exist in the real world, folks. That's the thing, you know, with the digital world and the virtual world that we live in, we forget that this doesn't actually exist in the real world. And that's the danger of digital currency, folks. I mean, if the power goes out, then where's your wealth? What do you trade with? What do you buy food with? You can't do any of it once the power goes out. We have the whole system go down if you have a power outage now, folks. You can't even shop at a supermarket now if the power goes out. Not unless you have the correct cash for what you want to buy. And not many people have that these days, because not many people shop with cash these days. And that's something that people should pay attention to. You know, and as I've often said, folks, there's nothing wrong with technology. It's just who controls the technology that is the problem, and that's always the problem. And this digital grid that is rolling out, it could be highly beneficial to mankind if we lived in free and open societies where at least people were informed and given a choice, a reasonable choice, you know, reasonable information to make the choice on what sort of a future they want to have. But unfortunately, too many people are corralled into the future that the powers that believe they be want them to have. And this is very often done through the fear of terrorism, through the fear of wars, and the fear of external enemies. You know, the whole control grid that we're bringing out is being brought in for our safety, to stop the terrorists getting us and to stop people doing illegal activity which may lead to terrorism and all this rubbish that they feed you to get your acceptance of this system. But really, it's all contrived, it's all rubbish. There isn't any real threat against you at all, except from the government, except from the people who are rolling the system out. And they're not rolling the system out to protect you, they're rolling the system out to protect themselves, because they really want to know who knows about them. But again, they're only getting away with it due to our passive acceptance of it, and our passive acceptance of the technology that is being rolled out under the guise of convenience. You know, and they make it all look so attractive, folks. And this is also part of the ploy. You know, you get someone to get a new mobile phone or a new app or a new this or a new that, and suddenly everybody else wants it. And not because they actually want it, but just because someone else has it. that seems to be the way we think. You know, we don't even want half of the stuff that we go out of our way to collect. We just want to have it because we know it's what everybody else wants, and we want them to know that we have what they want. Even if we don't particularly want it ourselves, we get it just because of the social status that it provides. And that's what a lot of these technologies are rolled out as. They're very clicky and very socially acceptable, and they put you on a particularly attractive social level that many people seem to strive for. You know, everybody wants to be the one who lives at the top of whatever building it is that they occupy, because if you live at the top, then you obviously have everything that everybody else wants, even if it's stuff that you don't particularly want yourself. And half the reason you've collected this stuff is simply for that reason, folks, just because you know everybody else wants it. It isn't stuff that you actually want yourself. And that's a weird way for us to live our lives, but unfortunately that's what many people do. And they get there at the top of this pile and then they pretend to enjoy it, but really what they've missed out on is themselves. And that's an unfortunate reality that people sort of come to later in life very often. But it's just a strange thing to watch. All of the trouble that we go to simply attain that which we believe everybody else wants. You know, we very much miss out on our own path this way, folks. You know, very often people aren't even aware of what their path is. They just go through life accumulating stuff because they think that's what it's about. But it's really not. You know, people often miss out on their own journeys. You know, if you can look at your life as an artistic statement of creation, an artistic expression of creation, a path of consciousness through creation, and realizing what that path can bring to your consciousness, and it isn't about material stuff, it's about the knowledge you can gain, then I think we would have a very different world. But that's something that people very often miss out on because they are so focused on the material aspects of living. And sure, we all need stuff, we all need things to get through life, we all need somewhere to live, we all need enough money to get by. But that shouldn't really be the be-all and end-all and the focus of it all, because often when we get all this money, all we do is spend it on stuff that we don't really need at all, stuff that we don't really want. It's just stuff that we buy because it's what other people want. It's a weird thing. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so what to do about the situation that we face, folks? Well, half of the problem really is realizing what the situation is, you know, and helping people around you to realize what the situation is as well. You know, there are a lot of people waking up to the fact that they've been played, folks. There really are. And a lot of the stuff you're seeing on the ground in the United States is contrived. All the Trump protests, everything that's still going on, this is all contrived. This is all being done, I believe, to bring legitimacy to the fact that Trump may likely be impeached. You know, they had to bring legitimacy to his election by releasing all the Clinton emails at the time they did and putting this massive swing behind Trump, or this apparent massive swing behind Trump, very much supported by elements within the independent media, which caused everybody to believe it was real. But ultimately, it was just theater for the masses. But now that Trump is doing his job and things are going the way they have planned them to go, which I believe is for Trump to create a complete mess so he can be impeached, they have to provide legitimacy for that impeachment as well. This posturing against North Korea, this missile attack against Syria, and just the way he is stirring the pot so much in a global situation, the way he's backflipped on just about every promise he made. He's trying to replace the wall that he promised everybody with a large fence, for example. He's replaced the friendly rhetoric towards Russia with very aggressive rhetoric towards Russia. He's backflipped on his stance with Syria almost within the day of saying Assad should remain in power. He's gone and bombed them, and now he's threatening North Korea. So it's all a play, folks, and it's all being done to create this immense theater of instability that Trump can be blamed for. You know, people will believe that Trump has far more power than he has through these moves, because the president doesn't really have as much power as people think it does, folks. This office doesn't really hold all the power in the world the way people think. The president has to go through all sorts of procedures to get things through. You know, even with executive orders, they don't always work, as we've seen. So the things that Trump is getting away with are things that they want him to get away with, and it's all one big play, folks. As are the anti-Trump protests that are still happening. This is being done to give legitimacy to the fact that he may be impeached. It's all play, folks. They've got to make it look like everybody on the ground really hates this guy, because it's going to look normal once they throw him out. And that's just the way it is. And also with what he's done overseas, I mean, he's really made a mess of things, and all of this is designed to get people to really dislike the guy. And for all those people out there in the United States who seriously believe North Korea is going to come and bomb them, folks, you're not going to be bombed by North Korea, okay? It's just not going to happen. This is theatres. This is simply more wagging the dog to distract from other things and to provide legitimacy for what I believe will be an impeachment of Donald Trump. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but it really does seem to be pointing that way, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did this at all. It certainly would allow the situation to have escalated on the international stage very, very well. You know, Donald Trump got through a lot of things that Hillary Clinton could not possibly have gotten through, and it will allow the United States to actually get away with doing it by replacing the president as being someone who is incompetent, and putting someone like Pence in place to simply move the agenda forward under the pretext of attempting to clean up Donald Trump's mess. This seems to be highly likely and quite possibly the way things are going to go. I mean, as I said, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems highly likely, and it would really serve the globalist interest to do it this way. And we're seeing all sorts of stuff going on to support this, folks. I mean, look what's going on in England as well. England's standing behind Trump's support of this ridiculous attack against Syria, and we've actually got almost what is a hung government. We don't really have a government in England at the moment, in Britain. So that's going to be interesting. We've got an election happening in Britain next month, but we don't really have a parliament in England at the moment, and that seems very convenient at this particular time as well. Right as there's this nuclear war apparently being threatened by North Korea, the British Parliament decides it's time to basically close shop and wait for the next election. Seems a little interesting, folks, and so that should indicate to you that there really is no real threat that we're facing on the global stage at the moment. We're really not. I mean, why would Britain be backing down and packing up shop and waiting for the next election right at this particular time if Trump's got an armada steaming towards North Korea and we're on the brink of nuclear meltdown in one of the British colonies, i.e. Australia, because there was apparently this nuclear threat made against Australia. So yes, that's a good time for the British Parliament to stand down, isn't it? So look, folks, it's all theatre. All of this stuff that they present us is theatre. It's all about rolling out the same agenda and putting the people in fear. As I said, the people of Australia don't really buy into much of this. They feel like they live in the lucky country and it's all safe there. I mean, they did stage that terror attack in Sydney last year, and they had an utterly contrived terror attack staged in Melbourne as well. But this is just designed to attempt to put the fear into the Australian people, and they still don't buy into it. They still don't respect the police. They still don't respect the government. They just kind of go on with their lives and ignore the whole thing. And that's kind of the problem in Australia. People are very apathetic about the global situation. They consider themselves to be in the lucky country, away from everything else. But really, it's just a country that's there in the middle of Asia, and they are surrounded by a lot of people which, you know, are not very friendly towards them, and it would be better if they perhaps did pay attention to the global situation, because they could heal the wounds that we have with all of the neighbouring countries that we've kind of taken for granted and taken advantage of, because we very much have, as Australia, we have very much taken advantage of those around us. But we could heal all that if the people would help heal the global situation, and of course the first step in doing that is paying attention to it. And it's something you just don't get from the Australian people. The only real knowledge they have of the global situation is what they get from the mainstream media, or they see on SBS News or something. It's a very, very sad situation, folks. Not many Australians really are interested in travelling too much because it's so far to go. I mean, sure, you do get a lot who travel, but the vast majority don't. Much like the vast majority of people in the United States really don't travel as well, so I've found there's a lot of people here who've never left the borders of this country, a lot of people who've never left the borders of their state, and that's kind of interesting as well. But there's a lot of people in Australia who just find it too far to go anywhere, and so they don't really have a great deal of experience in the world. And of course, they're told a lot of places are unsafe to go because the government tells them that these places are unsafe, like you shouldn't go to Iran or Egypt or anything like that because it's all very unstable. Shouldn't go to Palestine, shouldn't do any of this stuff because it's all very unstable. And so many Australians think that that's just the way the world is, and they sit back and they look at the mainstream media news and they think, well, gee, aren't we lucky that we don't get any of that happen here? Very good of the government to keep our borders so tightly sealed, and they live their life in this state of apathetic ecstasy. It's quite bizarre to experience, folks, but really that's the way Australia is. I lovingly call the place Apathralia because the people just don't seem to really care about anything that's going on in the world. And it's a great shame because that has led to a situation where Australia has very fast become one of the most controlled places in the world, and people very much believe it's quite normal to have to be told to walk between the lines every day and to not step on the grass and to do what they're told at every step of the way through their lives. They think it's quite normal, and they think the government is their friend. They never really ask why they have to do what they're told so much. They just do it. And that's a very unfortunate thing to have seen. It's a very, very sad thing to see my countrymen being led down the garden path the way they are. But unfortunately, they are, folks. And it's very, very sobering to see just how easily it was done, just how easily this control grid was achieved. Of course, it isn't complete yet. It isn't completely achieved yet, but it is most certainly well on the way. And the Australian people just don't notice it. They don't notice it at all. And that is the freaky part about it. But of course, it's not just in Australia that we're seeing this control grid. I mean, it's coming in every country around the world. It's just being molded to suit each particular country. Of course, it's being brought in via the fear of terrorism, the ever-present fear of terrorism, folks. That's what they like to use most. And all of this is contrived, and it always has been contrived. The question is, you know, what are we going to do about it, and how much are we prepared to allow this to continue and allow this cacistocracy to rule the world the way they do? You know, as I've often said, you know, we look at this and we attempt to vote people in or vote people out or look for remedy within the system, but we fail to really identify the root cause of the problem, which is the fact that the world is run by a criminal class. It really is. I call them a cacistocracy. Some people call them an oligarchy. Some people call them the elite. Some people call them whatever, the Illuminati, whatever name you want to give these people. Really, essentially, folks, it's a criminal class. It's people who have bad intentions, people who persist in wrong behavior and support the wrong behavior of others. It's a group of psychopaths, a group of banksters who control the world via control of the money system, and this whole artificial matrix that we're enslaved to. And the trick is getting people to see that it's so artificial. That's the hard part. It really is. It's difficult for people to see just how artificial the system is. You know, even activists that are working within the system, they see the need to create an organization or to incorporate or to get tax benefits or all this sort of stuff, folks, because they think it's real. They think the system's real. You know, and if you're creating a group to stand up against the system, why are you looking at incorporating or getting tax benefits or getting all of the stuff that the system requires you to have? Why would you ever register your company or any of this sort of thing? Why would you even create a company? Why can't people step above all of this and see just how fictional all of this is and realize that if we could simply speak our mind and do the right thing in all that we do, the system would change around us? And this is something that I've said so often, folks, that, you know, it doesn't matter what you bring along. If you haven't changed what's inside you, then you're going to end up back where we started. You know, it doesn't matter what system you introduce. If we continue to support wrong behavior, if we continue to put economics over people, then we're just going to end up back where we are. So what causes this in people? What causes this schism, this fractured reality that people sort of slip into, whereby they just can't see the forest for the trees? They can't see the bigger picture. You know, they create all these activist movements, and as soon as they create them, they fall back into the flow of the system, and they start abiding by the rules of the system and the parameters that are given to them by the system, and they lose focus on the root core of the problem. Is it the fact that this whole system is run by a criminal class? If you've got criminals telling you you have to walk between the lines in order to survive in the world, then what's the point of that? How are you going to ever heal anything by walking between those lines if you're not going to identify that the lines were put there by a criminal? The lines are put there simply to prevent you from being you and to make you think that you have less worth and less importance than somebody else. That's what it's all about. That's what half of these rules and these laws are for, folks. They're just to make you limited in your actions and to make you think that you're not worth anything, to make you think that you have to abide by the rules of others before you can get anything done in the world. But all of this is just an idea that somebody had. It's just an idea that was put in place. This whole system is just an idea. That's all it is. Now, that's all we're facing ultimately in the world, folks, is other people's ideas that other people have gone along with. And that's it. That's the whole problem, is that we don't think we can have these ideas ourselves, and we don't think our ideas are worth anything. And if we do get ideas, we think we need the permission from somebody else to put these ideas into action or to implement these ideas. You know, what's that all about? Where did that come from? How do we ever get a system that would curtail our own input into the system so drastically? That's the problem, you know. We look at this and we feel powerless to do anything about it because we're afraid to really participate in the system in any way because we need permission to do so. You know, and essentially we do in many ways, because if we just go and implement these ideas, then we have the attack dogs come and set on us, you know, i.e. the police, which is set on us by the system, or we have some man in a suit come around and tell us we can't do this because we didn't get permission from him first. But who is he? How did he get that position? How did he get to be in a position that he can dictate what you can or cannot do with your life and what you can or cannot do with the ideas that you have and whether you can or cannot implement these ideas? How did this person get into that position? You know, how did we ever allow this system to get the control over us that it has? That's the question, folks. And really, how this happened is via the education system. We got trained to do this. We got trained to respect authority. We got indoctrinated through the education system. We didn't get educated. We didn't get educated on how to think. We didn't get educated on how to excel, unless it's excelling as part of the machine, excelling as a functional cog within a big system. But we don't get taught how to excel on a personal basis unless we leave school and go out and seek some self-help from some self-help guru, which really isn't a self-help at all. It's seeking advice from others. That's the thing about self-help, isn't it, folks? Self-help is self-help. If you're going and reading self-help books or going and seeking self-help from a self-help guru, well, this isn't self-help. It's help. That's the thing. It's like self-awakening or self-enlightenment. You can't seek that outside yourself, folks. That's why it's called self-awakening and self-enlightenment. It's the same with self-help. You don't seek self-help from an outside source. That isn't self-help. It's help. But anyway, I guess I'm getting off topic. But the thing is, folks, that the remedy to everything that we face lies within ourselves. It really does. It lies in our ability to apply ourselves to this reality if we would just step into that ability and realize that we have that ability. And that's so much of what this system has done. It has trained us to believe that we do not have the ability to make a difference. But we all have this ability. People just need to begin placing trust in themselves, or at least replacing the trust in themselves that they used to have when they were younger. I'm sure if you can look back that far, you'll find you did trust yourself when you were younger. Perhaps you were very small, but we've lost that. Now we place our trust in others and we look for leaders to lead us to safety without ever even attempting to lead ourselves to safety. And it isn't that we often don't believe we can lead ourselves to safety. The problem is that we never even attempt it. We just give up before we start very often because we're trained to think this way. We're trained to think in a very disempowered way. We're trained to believe that if we want to make a difference, we have to join politics and we have to join the system and we have to play by these rules. And we're just not looking at the root core of the problem. Now, there is no system that is going to fix anything, folks. There is no system that anybody can introduce that's going to fix anything. And there's no political fear that can come along that can fix anything. Nobody has the ability to do it because we continue to tolerate wrong behavior. We continue to tolerate people doing the wrong things. We continue to tolerate evil existing right in front of our faces. We continue to tolerate it not only existing in front of our faces, but ruling the most powerful offices that we have in the world today. We continue to allow people who have very, very low morals, if any at all, and very, very bad ideas for the future and bad ideas for the human race to maintain positions of power. And we do that because we don't believe we have any power ourselves. You know, it's interesting when you look at someone on television, you know, you look at a politician or one of these major political figures, and they seem larger than life because we see them on this box in our homes. We see them on television. They just seem larger than life. And if we ever see these people in public, they're in some sort of a motorcade with guards all around them and looking all fancy and waving to the crowd as if they're somebody special. But if we were to see them in normal circumstances, you know, we could probably bump into them down the supermarket or bump into them down the park or anywhere, just in a normal situation, you'd see that they're just normal people. They're not larger than life at all. They're not these big demigods. They're not anybody that we need to give our attention to. They're not anybody whose rules we need to follow. They're just people just like us. And when you look at the state of the world, folks, these people have done a pretty god-awful job with the power that we've given them, the position of trust that we have entrusted them to. They've done a pretty god-awful job with that, and they're continuing to do so. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? What's it going to take to unite the community? And I've tried everything. I've tried so many things to unite the community. I've tried so many projects to unite the community. I've tried doing radio shows and saying virtually the same thing over and over again for show after show after show, just in the hope that I'll reach some new ears and the hope that I'll cause the penny to drop in another person. But what's it going to take for the human race to step up to themselves and step up to the plate and actually do something about this situation? And realizing that all they really have to do something about the situation is to do nothing. Just non-compliance. Don't spend any money. Just stop holding the wheels of this system together. Stop holding it up by your support for it. Because ultimately that's what holds it up, and that's what's always held it up, is our support for it. Because we think we're little people. But, you know, we're not just little people, folks. All that exists in the world is little people. We're all in this together, and it's time we wake up to ourselves. I don't know, sometimes I guess I sound like a broken record on these shows. I really do, because I say the same thing over and over again. I really attempt to empower people. I mean, we've got a lot of darkness in the world. We've got a lot of shadow in the world. I could just come on and bring you the news every week and tell you the stuff that you want to hear. I could come on and be some New Age guru and tell you all the stuff you want to hear in that direction. But what's the point if people aren't going to apply themselves to the world, you know? Because it isn't about coming on and being a personality. It isn't about coming on and trying to say something special or trying to say something wise or sell myself as any type of guru or anything, because I'm not. I'm just a guy with an opinion who comes on and voices it every week and hope that others may listen. But, you know, the question is, you know, I've found this way that works for me. I've found a way of stepping into the flow, and I can see what sort of a future we could have if we lived in this gift-based culture. You know, I really see what sort of a potential humankind could have. I really think our potential is off the charts. I've said that many times, and I completely believe that, folks. You know, belief is the enemy of knowledge, and I don't believe in too many things at all, but I really do believe in human potential. I think we have an enormous amount of potential if we could just wake up to ourselves and rediscover ourselves. And that's what I try to do with this. You know, I think it's all about the path. This whole experience is about your path through life, and it's about what you do with the information that comes to you. It's about whether you leave the world in a better state than the way you found it. I think my generation has been pretty lax in that department. In fact, I think we've failed abysmally in that department. And perhaps people like myself can atone for those damages and atone for that apathy that my generation showed, and not just my generation, but my parents' generation and many others. I mean, there's so many people that are responsible for the state of the world, not just the rulers, not just the leaders, not just the kakistocracy, but very much the people themselves, because of their failure to act, because of their failure to act responsibly, because of their willingness to allow themselves to be led. But again, this is very much due to the respect for authority that is instilled into them via the education system. So how much can the people really be blamed? You know, ultimately, I guess they can, because really all that exists within this society and this whole social structure is people. Ultimately, whether you're talking about the rulers or whether you're talking about the sleeping masses, it's still just people. So, you know, ultimately, you know, we are the source of every problem that we've ever faced, and we are the source of every coming problem that we will ever face. But we need to realize that, before we're going to change anything. And we need to realize it as a collective, but we're not going to do that until we realize it individually. And that's the thing. You know, once you understand it, you know, all the problems that we face in the world today have ultimately come from ideas that people had. You know, everything that we face ultimately grew from the spark of an idea in the mind of a single individual. And it took on and other people created it as well, and it became reality for the world. And we can all have these ideas. We all have this spark of creativity. And we need to apply ourselves to this world. You know, it's a collective manifestation, folks. And you may not think that you've participated in the manifestation of all of this bad stuff that's going on in the world, but collectively we have. You know, collectively we've done it very often via our failure to acknowledge the fact that this wrongdoing is there. Our failure to acknowledge that nobody has authority over anybody else. There is no such thing as a legitimate master. There is no such thing as a legitimate slave. It's really as simple as that. There's nobody that has the right to tell anybody else what to do. If this person is not doing the wrong thing by anybody, then you, by telling this person what to do, is in fact the one who is doing the wrong thing. And it's this type of behavior which has really caused so many problems for the world and so many problems for this species. You know, this respect for authority, this need to throw our weight around, this need to exercise authority over others and to believe we even have the right to exercise authority over others simply because someone in a uniform told us to do so, or someone we believe to be higher than us on the social or political food chain told us to do so. You know, if we're going to have police in the world, these police need to be protectors of society and protectors of natural law for those who step outside natural law. And ultimately, the only people that are really stepping outside natural law or real law in the world today are the rulers of the world, those who have put themselves in that position where they are able to control others. And, of course, the others who are committing these crimes as well would be those who are enforcing these regulations. The enforcers themselves, the police, are in fact one of the major dangers that we face as a society. It would be wonderful to see these people readjust their mindset and also see the benefit of stepping back into natural law. You know, we can heal this world, folks, but it's only going to happen if people are willing to participate and make it happen. It's my great hope that that will happen very soon. It always has been my hope, folks, and that's what keeps me going, and that's the reason I do these shows and why I will continue to do these shows pretty well until the wheels fall off. And I'm sure there's people out there who are probably sick of hearing me say the same thing over and over again, but well, that's the way it is, folks. If you don't want to hear it, well, I'm sorry, but I'm well from over yet. So we're getting very close to the end of the show here again, ladies and gentlemen, and it's always a sad time, but it just seems to happen every week, and that's just the way it is. But we are getting very close to the end of the show. I'm speaking in Calgary in the next couple of weeks, actually on May 14th, I'm speaking in Calgary, and then on May 22nd, or from May 19th to May 22nd, I will be attending the AV8 conference in England. And I'm really looking forward to doing both of these gigs, and I hope to see you at one of them. This will be the only gig that I'm doing in Canada, folks, a gig in Calgary on May 14th. I'll get a video out for that this week to let you know where it is. And the gig in AV8, this will be the last time I'm speaking at the AV8 conference for at least 2 or 3 years, so do try to come along to that. And there's also a gig in Swindon in southern England as well, and you'll find a banner for that on the website as well. And that's going to be a great gig, folks. I'm speaking at that with Mark Devlin and a few other people, and that's going to be a great conference. And again, this will be the last time that I'm touring England for quite some time, so do try and come along to one of these gigs. I'm also going to be speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen, but that is later in September, and I'll get some information out to you well before that event happens. Another event I'm doing this year is another Cambo workshop in Hawaii, on the Big Island at the Earth Song Eco Retreat. I'm very much looking forward to doing that, especially after the success of the last workshop that I held there in March. And again, you'll find a banner for that on the website as well. And if you ever thought in participating in the Cambo Medicine or even just coming to Hawaii to check it out, November would be a really good time, and you'll see me there as well. In fact, I'll be the one serving Cambo to you if you decide to come and partake in the medicine. It's a very, very cleansing experience, folks, and a very profound experience, and something that I'm very much looking forward to doing. But that is it for me, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you to everybody who supports the website. Thank you to all those who support the Patreon account. Thank you to all those who send me so many kind emails, and some of them really are profound, folks, and I cannot thank you enough for some of the sentiments that you share with me. It really is very much the food that keeps me going, and some of the emails that I get are literally so touching and so profound that it really lets me know that I'm making a difference, and that's what it's all about, you know. I got an email last week which, when I read it, I kind of thought, well, it doesn't matter what's happened in the last 10 years since I started the radio show, even to have achieved this with one person makes it all worth it. And it was so profound and so wonderful for this person to have shared their sentiments with me. And I really do appreciate those who write me these emails, folks, and who give me so much encouragement in what I do. It really is one of the main things that keeps me going. So thank you to all those people who do that, and thank you to all those who support the Patreon, and thank you to all those who contribute to the website in any way, and thank you to all those who continue to listen and continue to share the information. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'll try to get a show out for you next week. I should be able to. I should be able to keep them pretty regularly, though there's going to be probably 1 or 2 weeks that I do miss out because I'm going to be traveling a lot in the next month, so we'll just see how we go, but I'll get them out to you as regularly as I can, and I'll look forward to speaking to you the next time I'm able. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In La Cache.